Very good evening. Small crowd this evening. The rain, the party last night, maybe.
15 minutes early.
Well, last week it was pretty good crowd. So, all right. We are in Daniel chapter 12. We are very, very close to the end of the book of Daniel, aren't we? Right? And in fact, I can tell you, we, including today, we have 3 lessons left. And so we have only 10 more verses to cover. And let us try to situate ourselves in the book of Daniel. Remember that we titled Daniel chapter 10 to 12 thematically, as showing the sovereignty of God despite the devil's attempt to thwart God's plan for his people. And we have seen in chapter 10 that this effort of Satan occurs in the cosmic realm, trying where we don't see it, invisible to us. And we can go to the next slides at this point. We is invisible to us. I don't have many slides today, but we'll look at them. And so the demons try to influence the nation. So demons are fighting God's angels, even though God's angels are restraining them in their activities. And those demons are trying to influence the nations in chapter 11, to behave badly toward God. They try to gild the nations to distort or to destroy God's plan, a plan by which God will eradicate evil and will establish good permanently. We have seen those things. So we see this in the real world and the visible world. What the angels are trying to do, the demons are trying to do behind the scenes, and they are being fought by the good angels, chapter 10. We see the manifestation of that in the visible world. We see the evidence of what happens in the visible world in chapter 11. We see it with our eyes. So the nations fight each other for no significant reason. And eventually, even though God's people is or Israel may not be the cause of their fight, they trample God's people under their feet. This influence can be seen in prophecies that have already been fulfilled, like chapter 11, verse 1 to 35. And not only prophecies that have already been fulfilled, but that can be seen also in prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. Chapter 11, verses 36 to chapter 12, verse 3. So that influence, that effort of Satan, that attempt of Satan to thwart or to distort or to destroy God's plan, he tries it in the invisible world. He tries it in the visible world in influencing heads of nations and nations. And he also tries it in the heart of human beings. And that's what we are going to see in the passage we began to study today, and in which we will have 3 lessons, verses 4 going on to verse 13. So the last few weeks, we studied Daniel 12, verses 1 to 3. And we labeled those verses the unprecedented deliverance of God's people. And as you look at it, everything in these verses is indeed unprecedented as to their magnitude. So the efforts of Satan to distort or destroy God's plan would, in that period, describe in that passage, verses 1 to 3, it will increase drastically at the approach of the end. A tribulation will occur as had never happened before. Therefore, we see in verse 1 of chapter 12 that all the unprecedented suffering of God's people. We read this, At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. So what will make this time different is the scale of it, not necessarily the fact of the tribulation that God's people will go through. And the second part of verse 12 tells us that there will be an unprecedented deliverance by divine intervention to match that unprecedented time of suffering. We read in that second part of verse 1, "And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book." We have explained those verses before. And verse 2 of chapter 12 tells us there will be an unprecedented resurrection time that will be segregated, not by race, but by faith. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Of those who shall awake," we are talking about, they will awake for everlasting life. But what about those who will not be awaked? They will eventually be awakened, but that will be to shame and everlasting contempt. So between those two revelations, there will be at least 1,000 years. We've studied that. And there will also be an unprecedented time of exclusive rewards in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Now, we turn to the last section of the book, beginning with verse 4, and verse 4 is the verse that we will study this evening after I will have explained to you what's going on in the context. Chapter 10, Satan's demons fight God's angels to thwart God's plan. Chapter 11, all the way to verse 3 of chapter 12 that we just reviewed, Satan uses nations and leaders of nations and the ultimate nation leader, the Antichrist, to try to thwart God's plan. And the last 10 verses, Satan has the potential to use the heart of God's servants to try to thwart God's plan. And guess where he could begin? Disillusion with the Word of God. Not knowing how to divide the Word of God, which we will see tonight. So we can label those 10 verses the sovereignty of God in view of the devil's attempts to thwart God's plan for his people in the heart of the Lord's servants. That's what we have here. The cosmic, chapter 10. The visible world, chapter 11. The heart of God's servant, the last 10 verses of chapter 12. There? Okay. So let me, in these 10 verses, this last segment of the book, they contain really three parts. And we will see the first part to this. So let me read the verses to you while I point out those parts to you. Okay? We are in verse 12. So part one, the first part, the first of the three parts is verse 4. In those verses, in this verse, the angel instructs Daniel about either the whole book that Daniel has put together or only the content of the vision the angel was revealing to Daniel. We'll try to explain which one we believe it is. So when we talk about the vision, we are talking about that whole vision of Satan trying to thwart God's plan, beginning with chapter 10 all the way to verse 12. So it's either the whole book or only that last vision. And this is what the angel said. He says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." So Daniel is asked or instructed to preserve this revelation for future accessibility and availability. Keep it intact. So we'll come back to that because this is what we are studying today. Now, the other 9 verses of that section contains pretty much a Q&A. There are 2 questions that are asked And answers are given to those two questions. The first question and answer is in verses 5 to 7. So that will be the second part of the book. So in these verses 5 to 7, angels are talking to each other. And one asks a question. And when you read it, you feel that the angel may not have asked the question for himself, but for Daniel, who is listening. It's almost like you want mom to tell the child something, and you ask mom the question, and mom understands that it is an instruction that has to go to the child. Now, this is what I feel is happening. The verse doesn't say that's what's happening. Just as you never tell mom, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. I intend for you to give the answer to Johnny, okay? So, listen to this. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others. So, Daniel is looking, and the angels see that Daniel is looking, okay? One on this riverbank, and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And you could see Daniel's eyes open. Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand on his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times and half a time, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. So this question is about time. It can be either about how long till these things in the vision begin to occur, or it can be how long they will last when they will have begun. So whatever the way the question is asked, it can be either they are asking for the sake of Daniel, that's my interpretation, that how long will it be before those things begin? Or it be how long will they last once they would have begun? So all the question may be only about chapter 11, verses 36 to chapter 12, verse 3, where it's talking about the Antichrist rather than simply how long until those things. So those things about the Antichrist, how long will that be? And these verses will be our lessons in 2 weeks, because next week we have Thanksgiving, we'll have a service on Tuesday, we won't have a prayer meeting on Wednesday, okay? So we come to the third part, which would be verses 8 to 13, and that is the second question. While the first question was asked by an angel, possibly on behalf of Daniel, the second question is asked by Daniel himself. And I can see this is a hint we have in verse 8 that really that question was asked on behalf of Daniel, because when Daniel listened to the answer of the first question, he responded personally, not comment that, oh, this angel told that other angel something. Look at what he says in verse 8. Although I heard, I did not understand. So that shows to you that question was pertinent to him. And because of that, then he asked a clarification question. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Because I just told you to do that in verse 4. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, don't worry about those days. Okay? You, for the moment, worry about the word that I gave you. But you, go your way till the end of your life, meaning, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Resurrection, we have just talked about in verse 2. Okay? Daniel heard both the utterance of the first question and the response to it. But he did not understand. Therefore, he asked his own question for clarification. Instead of how long, he's asking what are the markers? And the answer still came with no markers at all, but length of days, almost repeating what was said in response to the first question. And Daniel, in a sense, came about with no clarification, except that don't worry about it. It's not relevant for you right now. So there is an issue of relevancy that is going on here. These are the three parts of those 10 verses, and we will cover them in three lessons. And were it not for the difficulties associated with the specific number of days and all those things, we could have covered all the 10 verses today. But we need to spend time to understand that those issues that the angels have given. So, let us turn our attention now to verse 4. And pretty much, this is the last slide that's going to be on the screen, okay? And you will be looking at some verses that, you know, as you look at it, I will read them, but I will want you to turn to them. So, we will study that verse under the theme of the purpose of preserving God's revelation. Thematic indeed. And there are three parts to it, to that one verse 4. It is first the personal responsibility with God's revelation. The angel turned and said, but you, Daniel, I'm talking about how you should handle the revelation I just gave. So every time that we address a revelation from God, there is a but you, Hans Bernard, or you, Brian Bosch, or you. There is a personal responsibility that each one of us, when the word is read or preached, that we have to pay attention. How is this relevant to me? And then you have number two, the preservation in time of God's revelation. He says, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. And we'll expand that shortly. And the third thing that we'll try to see in that verse is the purpose in searching God's revelation. It says that many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. So let us look at those three parts, beginning with the first one. The idea of personal responsibility of God's revelation. But you, Daniel. Friend, the greatest challenge for a servant of God is to know what to do with the word of God. The pitfall for someone whom God has chosen to be his mouthpiece is that he often misappropriates the revelation given to him. We find pastors in the pulpits who are giving all kinds of things and do not know where to set the boundaries to say, really, I don't know what this means. And you find people who are trying to reply to certain groups things that God has said, just keep it my intention, it is for someone else, it's for another group. But you, this is what's relevant to you. We find people, when God is talking about them, that they need to confess their sins, they in return are thinking, oh, what great service do I need to do for God? God is saying, no, 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 this is not for you. What's for you is this. So, and that is an area where Satan can attack to try to thwart God's plan. It is definitely an area, huh? Where God, Satan is going to try, even God's servant, where you have that fuzziness, what do I do with this, as Daniel is, where Satan can come and say, do this with it instead, which can be completely valid in other circumstances. So this was given to Daniel, but it was not necessarily given for Daniel. And as Daniel is looking at it, we, throughout the book of Daniel, we have seen Daniel digging in God's word and in prayer. The revelation about God's plan in chapter 9, how did that come about? It was Daniel who was reading the prophecies of Jeremiah. Maybe it was in devotion, or maybe it was in just study. And Jeremiah, for a big part of Daniel's life, was a contemporary to Daniel, though they didn't live in the same city. And then Daniel prayed, and God revealed the plan of the 70 heptads in chapter 9. It was from his handling the word of God, and he confessed his sins. He was not looking for the 70 heptads. And God said, not only am I going to tell you how I'm going to solve the problem of sin now, let me tell you my plan to solve the problem of sin permanently. And here's my plan. And it includes two coming of the Messiah. So in the context of this passage, two questions are asked. The first one in verses 5-7 is about timing of the fulfillment of the prophetic revelations that were given to Daniel. And the second one in verse 8, as you see in verse 8, Daniel admitted, although I heard, I did not understand. So he was pondering, what am I going to do with this? What does this mean? That tells us what was going on in Daniel's mind regarding the revelation. What do I do with this? I hear. I do not know for what time it would apply. I do not understand it. And even at the answer of the first question, Daniel still doesn't understand. You know, friends, misunderstanding and timing are two great impediments to the way we treat the Word of God, whether it is with importance and significance or not. Understanding and timing. Understanding brings personal spiritual awareness. When those two disciples on the Emmaus road understood, their eyes opened, guess what? It brought personal awareness of where they were, where they were going, and what they should do. And timing ensures personal relevance. They are bound together. You cannot separate them. With understanding, you know how the Word of God applies to you, how it applies to your circumstances, to your interests, to your environment, and the like. Whatever the preaching is on Sunday, unless there be that kind of understanding for personal awareness, it's nothing. Timing tells you how urgent that application is, whether it will be something 50 years from now or whether you need to do this right now. When God revealed to Hezekiah the judgment that he would bring because of Hezekiah's coziness with the delegation that came from Babylon, and the prophet Isaiah told him about it and the judgment of God that is going to happen, you know what he responded in Isaiah chapter 39, verse 8? He said to Isaiah, oh, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. Do you think that he took it as really significant and relevant to himself? The timing was so far off for him. Hey, there will be peace. It's not that significant. Even though he repented from his sin because, you did that. He had a good heart. Whenever we have to handle God's word, friends, we must be careful to handle it with much significance. What God told Moses, he didn't tell to me. All I have to say is that in regard to this, using Moses as an example, how is that relevant to me? And even Daniel could have lost spiritual balance upon receiving God's revelation. Therefore, the angel admonished him on how to handle the revelation he has just received. And there is much to the admonition given to Daniel that applies to us as well on how we should handle the study of prophecy. We can be off on where we put the accent. We can put it on the wrong prophetic syllable. And we can try to apply to us things that are not to us. And that is why, and Satan, I'm telling you, Satan uses that to try to go toward God's plan. You can find a great communicator that can lead a whole generation of people astray. That is why I'm saying when we are dealing with scripture, all together is prophecy, we should be ready to do what Luther said, even though he very often didn't apply it to himself, acknowledge a learned ignorance. That we know enough to know that we do not know. So we go to the second part of that verse, talking about the preservation in time of God's revelation. Look at what he says. Shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Okay, I give it to you, but it's not for you. So there are two expressions here for us to explain, and once we explain that, you would catch better what is. So the two parts, shut up the words and seal the book. And it says until the time of the end. So let's begin with the first one. The whole verse really is problematic to understand. And this part, at first, when we read it, it appears to be counterintuitive. That's not what you would expect God to say. I give you the word, but don't pay attention to it. So when God gives his revelation, we will expect God to say, get as many people to know it as possible, and you keep your mind on this thing. Right? So in fact, when John finished receiving the revelation of his prophecies in the book of Revelation, he was told, Revelation chapter 1 verse 3, he was told this, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Oh, there's a time factor that renders John's revelation relevant. Huh? Okay. When that revelation is relevant to you in the timing factor, man, you'll better hear and do. But when the time is not relevant to you, you can really go astray in trying to bend that word to make it fit your own mind, to say, hey, that's for me, that's this, I'm going to do this with it. And here by contrast, Daniel was told to shut up and seal. What does that mean? In one word, it means not to keep secret, but to preserve. Daniel has heard something similar back in chapter 8, verse 26, that is second vision. You can look in your Bible. He says this, and the vision of the evenings and mornings, which was told, is true. Therefore, seal up the vision for look at this. There is a timing factor. It refers to many days in the future. Preserve it. Don't try to bend it to your own interests and circumstances. That is not why I gave it to you. To shut up is not to keep secret, but to keep secure. As when a rare book is put in the archives, it's not necessarily keep secret. It is there in display behind glasses. People can see it. It can be copied. But it is kept secure for future generation to witness. And to seal is to declare authoritatively complete. We are not going to add anything to it. Put the seal at the end. It's complete. It's complete, and you keep it secure until the time where it will be exactly historically relevant to the people I have given you for. So God told Daniel to preserve the revelation as is, because otherwise, Daniel, who is so good at looking at Scripture, trying to apply to himself, is asking, what am I going to do with this? And Satan can say, this is what you do with it. It's you. You have the understanding. You have it all. Just, oh, you are a great, great prophet. Just think about it. Just create something. You are good. And that happened to a lot of good people. The reason for that is this revelation should be preserved intact. The reason that it should be preserved intact is that it has to remain for the time when it will be most relevant, until the time of the end. And that expression also is problematic. That expression, time of the end, is automatically understood by dispensationalists to be the great tribulation. It may, or it may not be. The expression often coincides with expressions used in the New Testament, like the last days. And when we read that in the New Testament, we say, oh, yeah. Eschatology, tribulation. I want to bring your attention to two pieces of Scripture in the New Testament that gives us an understanding of the last days, which are often synonymous. The expression the last day often synonymous to the expression time of the end. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Get there, okay? 1 John chapter 2, and the second passage we look is Hebrews chapter 1. So 1 John chapter 2, are you there? And this is what John said, verse 18. He says, little children, it is the last hour. And guess what he associates the last hour with? The same context in Daniel. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Just as for Daniel 12, the last hour or last days or the time of the end is associated with the Antichrist or many Antichrists. And John was writing around 90 AD, about 2,000 years ago. Or if you want to be more speaking, 1950-something or 60, okay, or 70, okay? That's when he was writing. And John believed that this last hour or last days had already begun. It's already been there. It was in full bloom when he was writing. Am I making this up or is it right here? Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Okay? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So what is the contrast to time past? Verse 2. He has in these last days spoken to us by one who is Son. By the Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the words. So the contrast between time past is the last days, and literally these days, which are the last ones. So literally, when we look at it, when Hebrews was written, the author believed they were in the last days, or they were in the last days. So the last days do not necessarily, I do not say that they never, they do not necessarily mean the last of the days. Or the tribulation era. And we cannot, every time we see last days in scripture, say, oh yeah, it's a tribulation era. In the New Testament, the authors interpreted the last days of end time to be the period that begins right after the first coming of Christ. Once Christ came and the ascension occurred, the last days began. In that vein, the authors tell us at all the time to focus on the second coming, because the first coming culminated the time past. The second coming will culminate the last days. Those are the two big events that prophecies are about in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Christ came, Christ will come back. So I believe that the angel was telling, and that is what I believe the angel was telling Daniel. He was telling Daniel, this is going to be preserved to render available and accessible to those who will live after the first coming, between the first and the second coming, where there will be many antichrists until the final one comes. Antichrist means either instead of Christ or against Christ. Anybody who puts them in lieu of, yes, I mean, in lieu of Christ, or rises against Christ. That's what you'll find it preserved. So, preserve antichrist. Daniel, what am I going to do with this? Well, that's an equation for the devil to do something. Keep it intact. Keep it secure. Until it is accessible and relevant to those in the last days. We. But even then, it's a progressive thing. If you look at the time of the last days from when Christ left, then the New Testament was written. So Revelation keeps progressing for people to understand. Paul wrote those things in the New Testament. And when you get toward the closer toward the last of the days, it will become even more relevant. And that's what exactly the last part of the verse is telling us. The purpose in searching God's revelation. He says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Daniel is saying, I don't understand. And he said, there will be a time people will search deeply and they will get it. So don't worry about it for yourself. Think about you. Finish your service. You'll go to rest. You get your reward. You'll be resurrected with everybody too at the end. Don't worry about it. Okay? You have done what I wanted you to do. But that part, don't let the devil use it to thwart God's plan through you. So there are many interpretations about that many shall run to and fro. Some people say, hey, that's a prophecy about fast travel that we have here, airplanes, you know. Like Shatner, you know, who went to space with Bezos and his friend and came back, you know. He's been playing that role with, you know, outer space, and finally he got there. So we find that expression somewhat in Amos chapter 8, verse 12. He said, they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. You will find that expression in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore, etc. So when we look at this expression in other places, is it indeed talking about travel? Not necessarily about speed, but about wandering to seek something that you are not able to find where you are. So, but when the time of fulfillment would occur, then people would rush here and there over every word some people say, that wandering is not necessarily from one location to one location, but eyes going through, oh man, what does it mean? As I've been trying to do this evening, okay? Getting to one verse to another. Okay, so, but anyhow, whether it's really that people are traveling from face to face to get understanding of what is meant, going to that teacher, going to find that book, going to the library here, or wandering, perusing in the Word, the concept we have here is searching. Searching diligently. John chapter 5 verse 39, you search the scriptures for in them you think you have eternal life. That's what you are searching. But if you have the right direction, you will find that these scriptures are there to testify of me. So the purpose of God's revelation is to acquire relevant knowledge, understanding, wisdom that you apply to yourself. In Acts, the disciples will ask Jesus about the time of the establishment of this kingdom. Jesus said, I'm going and I'm coming back. And they said, is that when you are going to reply? I said, oh my, that part is not relevant for you right now. What's relevant for you right now is the Great Commission. You go, beginning where you are, Jerusalem, go to Judea, go to all the cities and tell people that I am the Lord. So if you keep focusing on, oh, is this going to be this or that, that's an opportunity for Satan to try to thwart God's plan in your heart. So when we are looking in due time, the Holy Spirit leads people to focus on what is relevant to them. That's why it says in Corinthians, those things are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit urges you. And you can be sitting in that same room, and the Holy Spirit is urging different people with different things on what is relevant to them from God's Word. One can be humble. The other one can be encouraged. Same sermon. The other one can be, you know, I have a child and I need to talk to him about that. Same exact sermon. And in regard to prophecy, that's where it can be very problematic, brothers. Because we have come through generations and generations that keep telling us, we have it. We know every single detail of it, and we are going to fight other people who don't agree with what we know is the detail. The relevance of Scripture, the second coming of Christ. We know it's coming. We don't know when. And all those accessorial things, there are things that are clear, there are things that are nebulous. And there are things that we say, well, you know, it makes sense that it would be this way. But we cannot be adamant. That's exactly the way it's going to be. If you don't think it's this way, you are dumb. You are all of this. In regard to those things, bet you, Hans, you, Brian, you, Joe, relevancy and timing. Okay? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this scripture that you gave to Prophet Daniel, and we hope that in looking at the exact circumstance of these things, that we would indeed rightly divide the word of truth. Therefore, O Lord, glorify and magnify your name. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.